This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
So I know you want to know what happened last week.
What happened? I don't know. What happened? I need to know.
So I'll enlighten you. So, you know, last week I was in a pickle, right? I was like, oh my God. Labyrinth Ave is, we're trying to have a photo shoot. We as in me, right? Just myself. So I was in a pickle, right? Because I'm like, oh my God, I worked on my summer collection since like October of 2022. It's been so long. And now the collection is actually becoming like real life because, you know, like I'm going to have to actually like sell the clothing. Like I can't just like make stuff for funsies anymore. It's like real life now, right? And I was like, oh my God, what are we going to do about this photo shoot? Where am I going to get models? How am I going to get a photographer? And like, obviously, I can get those stuff. But like in my head, I'm like, all right, how can I make myself more anxious, right? So what I did was instead of like getting like a New York like photographer and like models and things like that, I was like, let me fly in Mashun. So he fully came from Florida and he really delivered because
if you guys didn't know, look, I'm an artist, I'm a poet, I'm a co-host of a podcast, but I'm also I'm also a set designer, okay?
Right.
And apart from that, I'm also a photographer, okay?
And also a model.
Just like, you know, now I have equity in Labyrinth Ave. Now I'm a co-owner too. Okay.
So right.
So look, I came into New York and I got the job done. There was a job that had to be done. We got the job done. We flipped her apartment inside out. We made a whole photo shoot set. But y'all will see. Y'all probably have seen already.
On Labyrinth Ave.
Mo posted a snippet of two of the four garments. I said it. Sorry. There's four.
Oh, wow. You guys saw two.
Our podcast listeners get a sneak peek. There's four garments. Y'all saw two.
Yeah.
Two more. And they're fire.
So anyway, that's the perk of having a great, beautiful partner who you can just like fly in from halfway across the country and just put them to work. Put the men to work. But yeah, anyway, new summer collection is coming out on labyrinthav.com. Check it out on June 23rd if you want some cute merch, you know?
Right.
All right.
Thank you guys for coming back to our podcast, our beautiful podcast, Difficult-ish, podcast about South Asian narratives, hosted by myself, Mosh Noon.
Wow. And hosted by myself, Mahua.
And before we get any further, please.
Yeah.
Please, look, rate us, review us, and follow us on everything, you know, stay in tune with what I'm doing. Not much, but if you want to know.
Come on. Yes, you are.
No, I'm planning some stuff for July. I've had a lot of like solo kind of lazy time for the last month or two. But I'm looking to get back on track in July and August. Hopefully some big life changes will happen.
Wow.
We'll see.
Inshallah.
But what?
I love how you didn't plug any of like our podcasts or TikTok.
Yeah.
You were like, follow us, rate us. But by the way, like follow me.
Listen, Difficult-ish everywhere. Literally everywhere. You can, if you type in Difficult-ish, you will see our beautiful faces. Okay. This episode 94, episode 100 is coming up. If you guys didn't hear towards the end of last episode, we got something exciting coming in the works for episode 100. Probably going to be later in August. We'll see. So stay in tune for that.
Yeah.
And so.
And make sure to listen to the end so you can get the emoji for the week.
Wow, you need the emoji, because if you don't have the emoji, is it really a good week? Anyways, what are we talking about today?
All right, so this week's episode is inspired by like graduation season. You know, it's inspired by me seeing various videos on the feeds of just how children of immigrants/POCs how they celebrate their wins and accomplishments versus people that are not colored. So white people for the most part. So before we get started, obviously in this episode, we're not saying that white people don't give their parents gifts. We're not saying that you guys don't celebrate or have accomplishments that you celebrate, right? But we just kind of want to dissect like the disparity and like the difference in how both parties celebrate and how both parties just like enjoy themselves, because I feel like there are so many different, you know, like things that we've grown up with that some people don't have of a different group. So why I said this is because now that it's graduation season, I've seen a lot of children of immigrants, you know, like graduate and then put the cap and gown on their parents. And it's like a big emotional deal because for the most part, a lot of the parents didn't graduate themselves. So this is like a big thing because this is like the first family member in the family that graduated. And it's like us paying homage to them, right?
Mm-hmm.
I did the same thing when I graduated. A lot of people do it. And I also, I got inspired to, you know, record this with Mishun because I'm also thinking about how, like, when a lot of children of immigrants get big boy, big girl jobs, they use their first paycheck or they use their money specifically to buy their parents something. I feel like when we save our money, obviously we're saving for ourselves or trying to buy a house or whatever it is because that's what we were told to do. But our priority is also saving money to, you know, pay off our parents' mortgage or buy them a house or buy them a fancy car. Whereas in comparison, obviously, we're not talking about every single person. I've noticed that this isn't as big for non-POCs. A lot of white people, they don't save money to buy their parents something. And that can be so many different reasons. And that's what we're going to talk about in this episode. So, yeah, we just, you know, wanted to kind of dissect just like why, you know, why are we like this?
No, I think this is something that I think about like subconsciously, like just day to day here. Like I'm recording in my office right now. If you guys don't know, I work with a bunch of white people. And just like eavesdropping on people's conversations and like different comments they make.
Of course.
I have a brief understanding of like how everybody was like kind of brought up. For example, one of my coworkers, just to give you guys an idea. One of my coworkers, his father is the man that designed Michael Jordan's home. Like he's like a architect, interior designer, whatever. The Michael Jordan home with the 23 on the gate. Yeah, he designed it. Okay. So I'm working with people like this. One of my other coworkers was like, yeah, you know, I was just in Utah because my parents have like a cabin in like the mountains up there.
Mm.
I was like, what? Like, y'all families, you know that thing?
You know that thing when you're
in different states?
When you're growing up and you're in high school and people are like, oh, yeah, we're going to go to our other house for vacation.
Like I was like,
other house?
What do you mean?
We don't even have a single house.
and so, like, I hear, and that's like two of just like so many different comments that I've been hearing for like the last couple years that I've been here. And I always think about like, that's not the norm per se, as in like everybody has a lake house or everybody has like a mountain camp cabin, but it's like, you know, there's no like shock value to it. It's just like my other coworker, like their whole family has like a beach house down like in like South Florida, and like they go down there all the time just to like hang out with their family. Mm-hmm. And like, and they were telling me how like you enter their house and they have like a big chandelier when you first walk in. I was like, chandelier?
Chandelier.
That's a real thing.
No, it's so funny because like I experienced like the most basic things as like a child of immigrants, and I'm like, wow. Like the other day, like just finding like an electronic bidet. I was like, wow, yeah, they make
that
this.
That one took you.
And even like a TV with the swivel.
Yeah.
I was like, they don't make this where I'm from.
Yeah. You know what I learned about recently? You know what a foyer is?
I've heard of that. What is that?
A foyer? My coworker's family has a foyer in their house. A foyer is just like like the room when like you come into if this isn't what a foyer is, I'm sorry, but I'm just I'm from
know what that room probably is for us. It's probably like a prayer room or like the literally like the,
it's
the room,
it's
for
the
us.
Room when you walk into the house. You know how like why people have that have the big room when you walk? That's a foyer.
I don't
foyer.
Know
she's like, yeah, we have a chandelier in our foyer. I was like, oh, what in your what? Is that English? I've never heard that before in my life. Anyway,
no,
so yeah,
but anyway,
I get it.
So these are some of the culture shocks that we have as children of immigrants versus when we see like American white things. I feel like we can make so many videos about this because there are so many culture shocks that we face, right? Like even them
walking
in the house.
Yeah, that's a good episode.
With shoes on, like them walking in the house with shoes on so casually. That doesn't make sense, right? But yeah, anyway, let's get into this episode, right? Besides us just having all these revelations. So the first reason as to why we celebrate, or POCs or children of immigrants celebrate differently than white people, from what I've, you know, noticed from the content that I've watched and just friends and family, is that I mentioned it before, we are usually the first one. If we're first gen immigrant kids, we're usually the first one to graduate in the family. We're usually the first one to get a good job in the family. And so that's why we feel like we have to, you know, celebrate with our family, because I think we also have this understanding that you know, they sacrificed everything for us to accomplish these things. So when we put the cap and gown on them when we graduate, or when we give our first paycheck to them, this is like us showing our gratitude and us showing them that, you know, we got it from now on. So I think why this disparity happens is because like a lot of white people, for the most part, they grew up here, their families grew up in America, and they've had privileges their whole life, you know, and they have generational wealth. Obviously not everyone, their parents have an education. And
I think apart from like the generational wealth and the privilege, it's just like the comfort of just have been here for so long.
Yeah,
like you, like they have been in America since like the 50s or 60s or 70s, and they've like, and the grandparents were here, and they've had time to like see how the world has changed. And like, you know, our parents came here what in the 80s and 90s, and not only did they like they literally had to start from zero, like they had to try to transition what they knew from their past life into what's going on over here, and just like and like they kind of like they just started like, and they don't really understand like what's been going on the side of the world, because vast majority of people that immigrate here, they don't like do their research, they don't like try to understand American politics or understand how like the American economy works. They just come here, you know.
Whereas, they come like, because they've just heard that it's the best place to be to have a better life.
And it's like, even if someone who's white didn't grow up with money, if they're just middle class, you still have like the knowledge that like you can go to your grandfather and be like, yo, like how do I do my taxes? Or you can go to your father and be like, oh, how do I, you know, put down a down payment for a car? And they know all this stuff because they've been here. Like they understand how to buy a house. They understand even if like the prices change or like the way to do things change, they still have that knowledge that we had to just go on Google and like find out by ourselves, you know? So it's you know, apart from like just the whole money aspect, it's the fact that like, you know, like you said, like our parents come here for us to graduate college. Like they come here looking 25 years into the future. Like they come here thinking, yeah, one day my potential kid who I am looking to have is hopefully going to graduate college. And that's like what they're looking towards.
And I think that's another thing that we want to talk about, is that there's an expectation for us to succeed, where like if they came here all the way, they immigrated across the world and sacrificed their whole livelihood, we better goddamn get a good education and a good job, right? There's this expectation where they're like, all right, we took care of you for 20-something years. Now is about time that you pay us back. It's like a silent expectation. So it's like you don't really have room to fail as a child of immigrants, because like you're just a failure in people's eyes if you don't provide for them, and if you don't succeed after all the things that they've done. And that's why we have such high expectations put on our shoulders from such a young age. And I think in comparison to non-POCs, it's not an expectation for them to graduate or succeed. It's kind of just like just a celebration if they do it. And yeah. We're not saying that like there aren't people that have to succeed and they have to provide for their parents. And I'm sure that like for some people it's still an expectation that they have to go to school. But I feel like there's more of like a freedom, and there's more of like it's seen as something to celebrate that they've worked hard for, but it's not really like enforced as much. And I feel like that's why there's such a big disparity with celebration between the two parties, because you know, they didn't have like this expectation on their shoulders to like have good grades and finish school and get top of the class so they can finally buy a house for their parents and get a good job and this and that, because their parents aren't immigrants. Their parents, I'm sure, sacrificed a lot. I'm sure they've worked a lot, but they didn't come to a whole new country and just like not know a language. And
I feel like for like white people, it's a lot more accepted to not go the traditional route into, you know, whatever your later 20s becomes. Like if like a white kid graduates high school and they're like, yeah, I want to like go to a trade school and become like an electrician, that's probably accepted. Or if they're like, yeah, I want to take a gap year and like start a business, you think an 18-year-old brown kid could do that, like with the support of their parents? What their parents expect for their future to become is a lot more broad and expansive, because I think at the end of the day, white parents know that if their white kid does fail, they can kind of just come back home and just like recalibrate, yeah, and like go again. Whereas like we don't really have that, because, you know, for example, if there's a brown kid who is in pharmacy school and like their parents are like using all of their money to like pay for this school,
yeah,
the expectation of that person graduating is incredibly high, to where if they like, mm-hmm, fail and have to go back home, there's no like recalibrating. Like, yeah, like that's kind of what you have to do at the end of the day. It's an incredibly uncomfortable situation, just a devastating situation, because again, like,
yeah,
we have that expectation to succeed, and it's like, if, yeah, you do not find success on your own, it's going to be a really rocky road for the family.
And we're not saying that that's like a healthy mindset, you know, that is kind of toxic, where it's like, yeah, we were parents for you for 20 years, so that must mean that you can't fail and you have to provide for us back, you know? It's like an unspoken thing. It's not the best, because you know, parents should not be holding that over their kids' heads. But I think something else on top of that, before we talk about like how exactly our parents celebrate and like what they did to really like their idea of celebration is like wearing their best clothes. But anyway, we'll talk about, yeah, that. But I wanted to also talk about how South Asian culture and a lot of POC cultures, like ethnic cultures, our culture style is very collectivist, where, you know, we do a lot of things together. We depend on one another. We have a lot of family style type of things. And it's just normal to lean on one another, right? It's normal for kids to move out way later when they're married, because people are just like expected to stay together. Whereas, mm-hmm, American culture and a lot of white cultures, they're more individualistic, and it's an, yeah, individualistic society, which means that it's very like one for their own, right? Everyone has to do things solo. People are expected to move out after 18, and that's, yeah, normal.
That's always, and it's so crazy to me.
So like, can you imagine moving out at 18?
I think like it's such like a simple concept that like we're taught all the time, but it's so crazy to think about how like when a white kid is 18, they're like, their parents are like, yeah, yes, go.
Explore the world.
Explore.
Go. Go. You're a
freedom.
Bird.
Freedom.
Yeah.
There you are.
I used so to always crazy. Threaten my parents with that when I was growing up, when I'd be mad at them. I'd be like, I'm moving out when I'm 18. I'm never, yeah, coming back. And they're like, yeah, go. But like, with what money was I really going to leave with, you know? But anyway, so since we have different culture styles and different societies, I feel like that also makes us want to celebrate with the people around us, because again, we want to show our gratitude and respect to our parents. And obviously white people are also doing the same thing, but it's in a different way because they were taught more to be individualistic and just be on their own. So I feel like they feel more proud of themselves first, and then they celebrate with their family, however it is. Whereas for our culture, we feel proud, but more for like our family for getting us here, you know?
Yeah.
So like when you graduated, what are like how do our parents like show their gratitude and like that we are successful?
Man, it's so crazy because like our parents will bark at us our entire life.
God.
To graduate. To graduate, and then it's like the day your graduation and it's like
it's silent. It's
like stone face. They're like good.
good job.
You good. Thank
you. Yeah.
Maybe a thing.
But it's so funny because they like pull out their best clothing. Like my mom, my parents like pulled out their best clothing for my graduation. They like for other people, they're like recording so much, they're taking pictures, they're so happy in the audience. But like when they see you, obviously I'm not talking about everyone because my parents are pretty good. But when they see you, they're like, yep.
Yeah.
Let's go home now.
Yeah. Thumbs up. Literally. They're like, yeah, we have food at home. You can go. And then it's like there's nothing to do for the rest of the day. And then like it's like the day after graduation, even the night of, they're like, okay, so PhD.
Yeah. Master's? Okay, PhD.
Good. And it's like,
yeah.
I don't know if this is like a brown person thing or if it's just a me thing, like a personality thing. But I feel like with all of the pressure that was put on to me from my mother and from myself to graduate, it wasn't just my parents. I really wanted to graduate. There was no, like, there were so many points where I like played with the idea of dropping out just because I felt like I couldn't do it. But I never wanted to drop out because I like didn't care for a degree. I always wanted a degree. So my graduation was so like it was so special to me. Like me graduating college was so special to me. And I think like the day of my graduation, I was a bit butthurt, like not seeing that same extreme high level of like satisfaction and celebration on my mother's face. But I understand like the way that she gets happy about things is different than the way I get happy about things. And she didn't see like the day-to-day how much work I put in to graduate. But yeah, their celebration methods are there. I think it can get upsetting for the kids because it's just not seen in the same light. Like we've said this whole episode, for our parents, even though our parents see us struggle and see how hard we work, at the end of the day, they're subconsciously thinking that like, yeah, he was gonna do that anyway. Like, yeah, he was.
Yeah,
like,
that it's was an expected. Expectation.
That was expected anyway.
Yeah,
it's like for a white kid. If like a white kid, if his dad owns like a $1 million company, and like, you know, then the son wants to become an entrepreneur, you know, the son can work his ass off to build this company.
This isn't just a game, it's a once in a generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Make a $1 million company. And like, yeah, his parents would probably be proud, but it's like his parents were like, yeah, like, that was like kind of expected, or like, yeah, like, you know, good job, I guess. And I feel like there's always this like disconnect of like us putting in countless hours and so much hard work to doing something that our parents wanted us to do. And then like we do it chasing their reaction, their potential reaction. Then their reaction just like doesn't live up to what you wanted. And
yeah,
it could be like a bit disheartening for the kid, honestly.
I think something, the disparity that I don't really like with our culture versus white people and just how they celebrate is that like there's this silent recognition in our culture and ethnic cultures where, you know, parents are doing all these different things like taking pictures from the crowds and like being proud and like wearing their best clothing. But then when it comes to the actual person having that accomplishment, it's just silent, right? There's no like words of encouragement or recognition. There's no words of affirmation. Whereas for white people, for the most part, it's very much like, oh, I'm so proud of you. And there's emotion and there's actual like words that are encouraging. And I just love how open those cultures are, because they're just able to express their gratitude and their hard work, whether it's the kids saying it to the parents or the parents saying it back. And I think, like, we always talk about this. I think that's always something that we love about white people, is like they're able to just be a lot more open. You're allowed to be a lot more free with them. And that's why, for the most part, the kid and parent relationships are just so much better, you know. But for us, it's just like silent words of affirmation. Like the way that they show love in their eyes is right, is like them cooking 5 weeks of birani when you go home to celebrate, right? Their way of celebrating is just like wearing their best clothes and getting you clothes from Macy's. And it's just, you know, it's like we want more than that. So I think what I want to talk about, this is a good segue into the next reason why we celebrate so much as children of immigrants, or not celebrate so much, but like celebrate differently, is because we want to break that generational trauma of like that silent, you know, words of encouragement or like that silent recognition. Because from what I've seen and what I've noticed is that usually it's not like the parents that are willing to celebrate as hard, like go out to dinner or get a cake or do extra things for graduation, like putting up a, you know, graduation sign on the front lawn or something, right? It's usually like the older sibling that wants to celebrate, or it's usually like someone that's close to the family that forces like that initiation. So for example, like as an older sister, like I was the one that, you know, forced more celebration for like my brother's graduation or like whatever it is, because I knew that my parents maybe didn't act that way for my graduation. So I wanted things to be different for, you know, my younger sibling or whatever it was. And it's usually the older people or like people that know they want better for someone else in the family that are initiating like these grand ways of celebration, because they just don't want the next generation to also be like a silent celebration. So like even for your graduation, like we made, you know, like balloons, and we put up like the front lawn graduation signs, and we just like went hard, right? We went to a nice sushi restaurant after you graduated. And it's just, you know, our way of just wanting better for the next generation.
Yeah, and honestly, that's something that maybe I, as like the younger sibling, didn't realize for like a really long time, because I recognize my sister has made those strides a lot, and she still does. Like any day that's coming up, like she is the one that initiates, like, oh, we should go out, we should do this, we should do that. For my last birthday, for my 24th birthday, she took me and my mom to Mexico, and that was something that I brought up. That wasn't something my mom brought up. That was something like, yeah, we're gonna do this. And like my reaction was like, oh, I don't care, or like, oh, like, yeah, if you want to. It's always like, yeah, if you want to, or like, yeah, sure, or like,
the older siblings always keep everyone else in mind before, and they're always making the strides to do a lot more than they had.
Why do you feel like it's hard for our parents to celebrate these things that, you know, they came here like waiting for us to do? Like, because I think I've always struggled with the idea of trying to understand why it's difficult for them to, apart from like they don't know how to, or like they show their love in a different way. Like, I get that, but it's like, you wanted me to graduate for so long, you wanted this to happen for so long, and it happened. So where is the incapability of like celebrating come from?
I think a lot of ethnic cultures are based on being selfless and just sacrifice, and so they just expect us to also sacrifice for them. And I think they see us being born in America and not being born where they're from, it just makes they, in their eyes, they think it's just so easy for us to finish school because we don't have a language barrier, we don't have the same problems that they would have if they went to school here. So I think they see like our accomplishments as kind of easy because in their eyes, you know, we didn't have to move across the world. We didn't have to pay for school if they paid for it. We didn't have to do the hard labor that they, in their eyes, is a lot harder than what we went through, where obviously I'm not saying that their work wasn't hard, but you know, it's also not putting enough weight on the things that we had to do to accomplish the goals that we have. So I think they just think that it's just not hard. So then that means they don't have to give it as much recognition because at the end of the day, it's just school, or at the end of the day, it's just getting a job. And that's expected if you're born in America and you have the same opportunities as everyone else, even though, you know, that's not really the case. And I think it's just them disregarding that we are also, we have struggles and we have hardships that may be different from what they've had, but it's still there, you know, it's, they're still like heavy.
And I think like on top of that, I think everybody, like apart from my parents, like everybody in society, we always fail to recognize the percentage of people that like fail doing stuff. Like, we always see people get TikTok famous. We don't see the millions of people that, like, have tried and, like, couldn't do it. You know, we see the successful entrepreneur. We don't see how many people have wasted their entire life savings and are at zero because they wanted to chase their dreams and start a business. We don't see all the kids that graduated college and are, you know, working odd jobs trying to figure out how to pursue life. And if we don't see it, our parents definitely don't see it. Our parents just attend our graduation, they see the person who's valedictorian and they're like, somebody was valedictorian and like it wasn't
could have been
kid.
You,
you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, I think it's the empath in me that always thinks about the person that couldn't get this particular thing done, and that always just makes me feel a lot more grateful for what I do have.
When we post videos of us like putting the cap and gown on our parents, or us like buying a house with their money, do you think that other people see that as bragging?
Yeah,
or like corny?
100%. I think because they like nobody knows your life story, you know. And I think non-POC are the first people to see it as bragging. I think POCs are less likely to see it as bragging, but you know,
they understand it.
Like the concept of seeing somebody bragging can derive from jealousy as well. You know, like you seeing somebody accomplish something that maybe you haven't done, it can come from that. Wherever it can come from, I think it's a lot more likely if it's somebody that's white, because like you said, I don't think any of my coworkers have the ambition to buy their parents a house because all their parents are homeowners already, you know. Whereas, like, the first thing that I want to do with money is I think about this all the time, and I'm not even just saying this on the podcast. When I get money, I am giving my money to the people that helped me get to the place I am today. Obviously, first being, like, my mother and sister. But, like, even apart from that, I think about, like, the key people in my life that have helped me get to where I am. You know, I want to give back to them. I've said that for a long time. And I just, like, I don't think white people have that same ideology behind their money. It's always like, oh, like, I gotta buy my house and my car first, and then, like, you know, I'll buy you dinner.
Which there's a level of respect for that, though, because I admire how they're able to think about themselves first, because I think that's a good trait to have, or like a good balance to have. Whereas for us, we think about other people before us, and that sounds good in like an outsider's perspective, but at the end of the day, we're thinking about others before us, so it's hard for us to buy things for ourselves and be selfish. So I think it's good to have a balance and, you know, understand that both parties can be right, you know.
Yeah. Moral of the story, I, as well as many other people, you know, are always chasing a certain reaction and a certain level of satisfaction from our parents in their celebration for whatever we do accomplish. And I'm here to tell you, in case you don't get it, don't let that mess with how proud of yourself you are, because you know, deep down, we do things for our parents, but you know, I say this to my friends who always like consider dropping out of school. I'm like, I understand it's something that your parents want, but I promise you the feeling of post-graduation that you get for yourself, like you don't even recognize how heavy and how weightful that is until you're done with it. And maybe it's just me, but I feel like there's never been any better feeling than graduating for myself. So for anybody hearing this that is maybe not getting this type of celebration that they want from their parents, we are proud of you, Mo and Moshnoon of Difficult Dish. We are proud of you. If you graduated recently, if you graduated, you know, last spring, didn't get, you know, a birthday dinner, why did I say a graduation dinner from your parents, listen, I'll get you a graduation dinner. What do you want? A little McDouble? A little two-piece from Popeyes?
McDonald's, McDouble or Popeyes.
Two-piece from Popeyes with the softy from Wendy's. We'll take a field trip. I got you. I'm proud of you.
All right. So as you guys know, we finish off our episodes with a little advice session, a little response session. We put on our Instagram. Only if you follow us, you would know this.
Only if you follow us where?
Story before on at Difficult Dish. We put up a little story before our episode where you can, you know, engage and send in your responses. And we, you know, say it out loud, maybe, in the episode.
Maybe.
And we just make it a full community experience, you know? So what we put up on our story this time around is, how do you celebrate accomplishments with your parents? Have you ever gotten major side eye from non-POCs when you told them you were buying your parents a house or a car or a big purchase? Because, you know, again, it's a culture shock. So let's get into it, right?
Yeah.
Someone said, I never tell my parents that I applied for something until I get it because I don't want to hurt them.
Damn. Literally. Damn, that's crazy. Yeah. I've done that so many times. Like I've done so many like job interviews. I've done so many like applying to different like certificates or different just stuff and like not wanting to share the news with not only my parents, but like anybody until it's like confirmed or finalized.
I think that's just us having like noser, like growing up with noser.
Yeah.
Evil eye. But I think also on top of that is that like, even if you tell your parent, like sometimes, obviously not every parent, but like for the most part, ethnic parents, if you tell them that you're applying for something or that you have an opportunity for something and then you don't get it, you feel like you're disappointing them, even though like you didn't even like,
yeah,
it was just a chance.
And it's like if you do get accepted, then like their reaction is just like lesser because it's like,
yeah,
oh, like with you telling them about it, it was already like slightly kind of expected in their head. Yeah, man, I get it. I'm sorry.
My mom is getting better at this, though, because like I was telling her how I was supposed to paint this mural and then I didn't because, you know, someone else did. And then she was like, oh, it's OK. Next time you'll get them. And then she was like trying to make me feel better.
That's I was good.
Like, oh, okay.
That's yeah. good.
I can't find it now, but someone said that like when they get an accomplishment, like when the child gets an accomplishment, the way that the parents celebrate is by like inviting the parents' friends over. like they make cake, like they have a dawat and they have like a whole party at the house, but it's just like the parents' friends.
Like the kid is there and they're like... Okay.
Yeah. Be grateful. Someone said, I never celebrate with my parents or no, sorry. Someone said, I never celebrate with my family except with my mom. My family always compares me to cousins or other people.
Man, the whole comparing thing. I don't know if we've done an episode on comparing, have we? We got to do that. That's a big one.
You got to do that one. Yeah.
It's not even to cousins, man. It's to everybody. Like I said, like...
To everyone. Literally the goddamn valedictorian.
I feel like every brown kid who graduates college just, like, hates their valedictorian because they know that, like, their parents are going to be looking at them like, that's the one.
That's the one that we're going to fixate on for the next month.
Yeah, lifetime.
Someone said, I haven't really celebrated my wins because I felt like it wasn't enough and I had to do better. Yeah, I think that's why so many of us are on autopilot and we feel like we just have to outdo ourselves constantly, even though we do such amazing things, because we just grew up with like little to no reaction from our parents when we do accomplish something. And it's just like it doesn't feel enough for them, you know? And also, like, how can you ever really repay the sacrifices that your parents mm-hmm. went through, it just, you know, it feels like you have to do more and more.
And a lot of the time, you know, that can manifest into just like jealousy for somebody that does have supportive parents. And, you know, you can garner your own like issues in your head from just getting too much negative feedback and seeing so much positive reinforcement with other families and stuff. And yeah, I mean, it can really mess with our heads if we don't like just if we aren't completely headstrong and just like safe from everything around us.
Yeah, my recommendation is just celebrate those small wins whenever you accomplish anything. Just like write it down and talk about, you know, all the things that you had to do to get to that win. And just celebrate it, even if it's just like with one friend or just by yourself or just giving yourself a self-care night. Just do it, because then you get so robotic when you just keep going and going without understanding how much you've done. And it just doesn't even hit the same, you know, it doesn't matter at the end of the day if you're not celebrating anything.
Yeah.
All right. Wow. Good one.
Good.
We have to do a whole episode on just like culture shocks.
Yeah, I feel like we talked about so many different things. We talked about so many different things in this episode. We got a lot to talk about. But it's okay. Yeah. Good thing we're doing this podcast forever.
Forever and ever.
Yeah.
Any 10-second advice from you? Why would there be?
I think on the topic of like celebrating ourselves more often. Mm. Next time you're at like the grocery store, just like buy yourself like a little like... like a little like balloon or like a little like cake or like
only Mushroom would be walking around town with just like a balloon in his hand.
just something a little physical, you know, a tangible item to help reinforce the fact that like you're proud of yourself, you know, just like,
yeah.
I'm a big balloon guy. I don't know if you guys knew. I'm a big balloon guy. Love balloons. I don't know why.
I don't know.
Always have. Love balloons.
Yeah.
And I've been thinking about you know how people have like plants in
buying
the room,
his own balloon company. Like his own factory people, for balloons.
People have like different items in their room. I just want some balloons, okay? Because balloons are they're just happy. People get happy after I get happy off balloons, okay?
That's why for your graduation balloons. we blew up so many balloons so that you can, like, and I was step so happy all over the place.
I was so happy.
Yeah. That was a nice little surprise, huh? You know, mine is like since you said balloons and it was kind of silly, mine is switch up your coffee order, because you know me, I'm usually just like a hot coffee girl, right? I usually like my hot drinks. Uh-huh. But the other day I had a cold coffee drink, iced one, and it hit.
Got you.
So, you know, because like I drink hot coffee for summer, if it's cold, like whenever, but the cold one, it hit.
That's good. Yeah. That's a great advice.
It's a great win. It's a great way to celebrate a win. A little coffee, that's different.
Yeah. I feel like so bad for the people that listen to this podcast, because like sometimes we give like the worst.
Sometimes we give like top tier advice.
Like,
all right, what's like, the emoji that they should comment?
Is there a chandelier emoji? Let me see. Like a foyer emoji.
What the hell is a foyer emoji?
Let me see if there's a chandelier emoji. Should we just do the light bulb?
Why?
What else did we talk about? Balloons! Give me some goddamn balloons in the Friday post.
Yeah, put some balloons.
Give me
in
some
there.
Goddamn balloons, okay? Celebrate.
In the Friday or Saturday post.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, thank you so much for listening. We love you guys.
Make sure
to follow us and rate us.
Yeah.
And we'll see you guys next week.
Love you.
Allah Hafiz.
This isn't just a game. It's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.